Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Come on, give it up for Jesus today at all of our campuses. Come on, Faith Church, you can do better than that. This is going to be a great weekend. Amen. Yeah, I feel like maybe the band sounded just great here and in Florida today. I know we're clapping a lot, but can we give it up for all the singers that get here early, all the band that's set up. Come on, they're tearing in and tearing down the high school. All that's pretty amazing. We're going to have a good weekend. Look at your neighbor and say, you got blessed, you got to sit by me today. August. This is going to be one of the greatest months of your life. Eight means new beginnings, if you didn't know that, numerology. And this is the first weekend of the greatest month that you've seen in a long time. I'm not just saying that to get your hopes up, and there would be nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying it because God spoke to me to tell you that, Faith Church, that the thing you've been believing for is going to manifest in this season in the next few days. I wish somebody could get a big old amen on that right now. Amen. So you sound great. I want to talk a little bit today about blessing, and in particular, I kind of hedge saying it because so many people don't like to talk about this. They don't like to talk about God blessing his people with money. Most preachers are afraid to talk about money. They're always like, oh my gosh, I don't want people to think that God wants them blessed. Well, I'm just kind of the opposite of that in the sense that I want you to know that we are from a different kingdom where our Father is the King, and he's going to meet all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So I don't hedge at all talking about money because God wants the money to get in the right people's hands. And to put a little context, if you're new here this weekend, I grew up super poor. In fact, we couldn't even afford the OR. We just grew up po. And didn't have money. Living in a trailer, my dad would be praying over bologna that we did not have. How many of y'all know if you're pretending to eat something, you definitely got a poverty mindset if you're pretending it's bologna. If we're pretending, let's put a ribeye up on that steak right now, right? But we can have this mentality of thinking that God doesn't want us blessed. And the enemy, first of all, let's establish that here in Florida. How many of y'all know there really is a devil? Raise your hand if you really believe that. If you didn't believe that, you're like, I don't believe in the devil. The devil told you that's stupid, okay? So there is a devil, okay? And the devil comes to do what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, wait a minute. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And you certainly can't have abundant life if you do not have the resources necessary to do what God has called you to do. Now, I know this few days ago, I was in Lima, Peru, and I'm kind of throwing the team a curveball on this, but I was videoing because I was walking in the morning and I saw this little guy and he didn't have a coat. It's super cold. It's wintertime in Lima right now. And this little guy's walking and his sister has a blanket on him. And she was so sweet. And I came up and said, muy frio. And he said, yes. And because I'm not saying this to impress you, I'm saying this to impress upon you. $100, our American money, to them is like $500. And I looked at them, and they're familiar with American money. And I didn't know where to buy them a jacket. They were walking to school. But I knew if I gave them $100, it would change their situation. Now, if I didn't have $100, I couldn't help the kid. So the next day when he went to school, I didn't see him. But I can only imagine that he had a pimp fur coat. Come on, somebody, walk into school. What's up, people? What's up, Peru? But see, God wants you to be a blessing to other people, and you can't bless other people if you yourself are not blessed. Somebody ought to put a big amen on that. There's another one that's kind of cool. Some of our crew right now are actually flying back, various parts of them this weekend, Guatemala. I think they might have a little video to show what they did this week. This is what money does. We're building a house in Lima. That's this week. That's what money does. Don't you love that? There they go. We got it done. They're walking into their new house. They got their Hi God book in Spanish. They built bunk beds for the little boy. The little boy, he looked at them, and I believe he said whatever he said in Spanish. I don't know, but it was something very precious of how he was grateful, and he was a little dude. I'm saying that so everybody gets the right perspective. If you think that money is just to buy you a bigger house and a bigger car and a bigger boat, there's not necessarily something wrong with that, but our heart has to be at the right place. And if you got the right heart posture, God can bless you. The Bible said, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Let's all shout that at all the campuses. What is that? Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So I think everybody in here and all of our churches this weekend, you have a heart to do good, but the problem is, I don't know if you've noticed, but bread is really high. We didn't need to eat bread anyway, but I still love it. Can I get an amen for the bread people in here today? The Bible said, man shall not live by bread alone, but it didn't say that you shouldn't have bread. It said, just don't eat it alone. So I believe we ought to have peanut butter on it, and we ought to have apple butter on it. Can I get anybody else getting hungry here today? Okay. So your heart posture has to be right with God and for God to make a difference in people's lives. And I want to go to a passage you're probably familiar with, some of you. In Acts chapter 5, it says there was a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, who sold their possession. They sold their land. And they kept back part of the proceeds, his wife being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, by the unction of the Holy Spirit, he said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart with a lie to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained yours, was it not your own? After you sold it, was it not your own? Did not you control it? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? Everybody shout heart. And you have lied not to man, but you've lied to God. Then Ananias, after hearing these words, fell to the ground, breathed his last breath, and fear came upon him when he heard these things. And he died right there at that moment. What was happening here is, you remember the story of the rich young ruler. The Bible looked at the rich young ruler and he said, you know, hey, you know, what should you do to inherit the kingdom of God? And he said, well, you know what, I've loved my neighbor and I've done this and I've done that. And he listed all the things. And God said, hey, well, only thing you got to do now is go sell all you have and give it to the poor. And it says in the Bible that that rich young ruler walked away sad at that saying. He had done everything, but to walk away from the money, he said, man, I just can't do that. Because it was a heart issue. Now, you got to understand that God was never trying to take the rich young ruler's money. He was trying to entrust him with more money. I believe, and many theologians believe, you remember the guy named Judas? He had a wrong relationship with money, right? He worked as Jesus' CFO. He was stealing tons of money. When God would bring resources to them, he said, hey, shouldn't we sell this and give it to the poor? He didn't plan on selling it at all. He had a wrong relationship with the money. He planned on stealing it. And I believe that that rich young ruler was going to be the replacement. The replacement idea, the plan B for Jesus' ministry, if the guy would have said, absolutely, God, have it all. Now, remember this. God's never trying to get money from you. He's trying to get money to you because he knows if you have the right relationship with money, that God will be able to give it back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So he wants to pour more into your hands, but if your hands are like this and they're sticky, then God cannot bless you. And again, we see all the great things that money can do. So isn't money bad? No, the Bible didn't say that money was bad. It said the love of money is bad. You know that. You know, some people love money, and they don't even have money. I heard a joke the other day about a guy who was standing outside of the mall, and he was crying, and this woman walked outside, her and her daughter, and she's crying. I said, what's the matter? Can I help you? He said, man, I just lost $300. It was the last $300 I had, and I lost it in the mall. And she said, I want to make you feel better. She went into her pocketbook and pulled out $100 and gave it to him. And when they got in the car, the daughter said, hey, man, that was so generous. Why did you do that? She said, I just felt it was right. I had just found $300 at the mall. But see, when you have a wrong relationship and it's about greed and not about seed, then the enemy comes in and he'll keep you captive thinking that you and I are tied to this world's economy. And yes, eggs are expensive. That's why I live in the country and I steal them from my next door neighbor. Yes, gas is expensive. I'm not ignoring the fact that the economy and inflation is at an all-time high. I'm trying to get you to switch systems and realize that God sees it and acknowledges it, and he said, but I am able to do exceedingly abundantly and above all you could ever ask or imagine. Come on, somebody. According to the power that works within you. So what appears to be a sacrifice now will prove to be a great investment later. So when you sacrifice and you say, God, I'm not just talking about tithing. I'm assuming that you're there, because that's a very elementary part of the faith. We return 10% to God. Now, there's something that kicks in when you're just an investor. You decide, hey, we're going to build, you know, think about all the different ambulances and hospitals and churches that we've built in all these different nations of the world today that are running around. We didn't have to do these things. We don't have to help our brothers in these foreign countries. But we say, hey, no, we want kids to have a playground. We want them to have school supplies. We want them to grow up in a different mindset. And if we have money besides just the tithe, an offering, then God will get more money to us if he can say, can I trust you with the money? Where is your heart? Where's your heart? And that's what happened. I mean, once Ananias and Sapphira, they said, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to sell the property and we're going to give it a big offering to the ministry. That's what they were saying back then. They shared all things. If you know the Bible, they had all things in common. And so they appeared to bring it all. And they said, oh, yeah, we're going to sell it. We're going to give it. And then when they came time to do it, how many of y'all know sometimes when you look at money, some people are like, I want cold, hard cash. Somebody told me it's not cold. It's not hard. It is soft and warm. And you start feeling it, and it gets a hold of you. That, in fact, is a technique that Dave Ramsey talks about. It's a lot easier to spend money with a credit card than with cash. Have you noticed that? Credit card, you're like, man, this is an extension of my paycheck. Cash, you're like, I'm going to double my money, fold it up, and put it back in my pocket, right? So the money got a hold of their heart, and that's why the Holy Spirit said, hey, we're going to check right now and see what's going on in your heart. And immediately when he did it, I believe the guy, his cardiovascular system, just from the stress and the pressure and the fear and the condemnation and the pain, it just shut him down. Again, God wants to bless you. Can he bless you? I can't answer that question for you. You have to answer that question for yourself. If you look at Mark chapter 12, verse 42, it said, then one poor widow came and threw in two mites. And so Jesus called his disciples and said unto them, assuredly, I say unto you that this poor widow has put more in the treasury than everybody else. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had of her whole livelihood. So we notice here that God wasn't looking at how much money this guy gave. He was looking at the heart behind that this woman gave everything she had. And sometimes you just got to look at ourselves and say, man, we're just a little bit self-absorbed. Talk about me. And whenever we take a group family picture, I don't look for everybody else. Nicole could be looking like this, and I'm like, I like the way I look. Come on, raise your hand. If you're the first person you look for in a family photo, the Christmas card, you're like, no, we're going with that one. Dad, I was looking the other way. Doesn't matter. I was feeling myself right there. So we tend to be a little bit greedy, a little bit needy, not a whole lot of seedy in the sense that we're not wanting to give away so and to. In fact, true story. When I was in Lima, Peru the other day, it was really cold that morning. And I had on a coat that a friend of mine had given me. It's a jacket. And it was way too big for the kid. But I would have rather, this makes me look bad right now, but I would rather give the kid $100 than give up the coat that my friend had given me. And all day, that day, and even right now, I have to live with the regret that there was something in me that kept me from doing what was right. I should have taken off my coat, wrapped it around the child, gave him my money, and went on. And that's my thing. And you can judge me all day long about that, but you have to ask yourself the question, what are we doing right now with what we have in our heart and in our hand to do what is on God's heart? God's always testing us and looking at our heart. Look at your neighbor and say, you got a good heart. Speaking of heart, Kevin Hart. I know it's kind of weird. Joel Osteen isn't going to play this video, but I want you to see this video. I liked it. Check this out.
And I told her, I was like, I'm going to do like comedy. I'm going to be a comedian. My mom didn't flinch. You got a year. Her exact words, you got a year to figure it out. I got an apartment and I was struggling. I couldn't pay the rent. She kept asking me, did I read my Bible? And I was like, no. Right now isn't the time for me to read my Bible. Like, I'm going through it. Mom, they're going to put this pink notice on the door. And then one day, I was like, man, let me just read this Bible so I can tell her I did it. And I know I'm being honest. And I opened up the Bible, all the rent checks fell out. She had, like, the rest of the year's rent checks in the Bible.
Look at you there. We said, read your own Bible. She kept saying, read your Bible. Did you read your Bible? No. All the checks, all the supply, all the resources, everything Kevin needed was in the Bible. And I'm telling you that God has already put in His Word everything you need to take care of you in 2024, in 2025, in 2026, in 2028. He ain't going to be late. I'll tell you, the devil comes to condemn you and keep you back financially, but God wants to set us free. We need to put in more hospitals. We need to dig more wells. We need to help more people. Somebody ought to give God praise today in this house. I like that. God desires to bless His people financially. That is His desire. But sometimes He'll look at us and see, do we qualify? What would happen if I gave you more money? Let's go to Deuteronomy 8:18. It says, but remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms His covenant as He swore to the ancestors. So we're said, God didn't say He was going to give it to you. He said He has the ability to do it for you. Then He said He swore as a covenant. There's a covenant. My hands kind of swell up sometimes, and my pastor had given me this ring. It's like it's pretty thick, big, so it slides in and off, and it tells you how I slept, how many steps I took, what my oxygen level was. It tells you just about everything you can imagine. And it's been the only ring that I could really, truly wear most of the time. My hands swell up. But just in case people wondered if I was in covenant with Nicole, she decided that she was going to put a tattoo on my hand that supposedly in Hebrew says love. I'm not sure what it says because I don't speak Hebrew. But I do know I can't slide it off at a bar. Can somebody see what she did here? So I am saying that this ring, this covenant, this mark says that me and Nicole are in covenant, in holy matrimony. And Nicole told me it was till death do we part. And she crazy, y'all. I believe that. How many of y'all raise your hand and say, I wouldn't try her. Raise your hand. Come on, that's okay. It's not Mother's Day. You can do it. Come on, Florida. I see you. We're in covenant. So that this contract here says that God has the ability to bless you so you could produce wealth. He did not say He was going to give you wealth. He said, I'm going to give you the ability to produce wealth. But He's looking at our heart to see if we have the right relationship. And if God blessed us, what would we do? Would we respect it? Would we use it properly? Because these resources come from God. So we're not just saying, oh, yeah, I got more money, so I'm going to put on more debt. Remember, the acronym for debt means doing everything but thinking. So we buy stuff we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't even know. Have you ever done that? Come on, raise your hand. I remember being 16. I had a cool car, and I would pull up and kind of rev it up on Florida. You don't know this, but South Lindbergh is where everybody cruised for girls. And you would be listening to the music, and you had your Rockford Fosgate subs pumping. And I wanted to look to see who was looking, but you couldn't really look much. You just had to look a little bit, but it was all about me. And I was impressing people that I did not know. So many times that's what we do. We live in this alternate universe thinking, if I had that bag, if I had that car, if I lived in that subdivision, if I went to that club, that's what would make me. No, you have to find out who you are. And if you don't know, you're a son and daughter of the Most High God who has a covenant with God, a covenant with God to be blessed so you can bless other people. Raise your hand at every campus if it makes sense to you. Raise your hand if you wish the person next to you had not raised their hand. Their right guard went left, right? Okay. I just thought of this illustration, and I might not use it again this weekend, but it made sense in my head while I was talking to you just now while I was filtering it. We were in Mexico a few days ago on this family vacation, and we were in Cancun at the airport. And Ashton is my daughter, as you know, and she's just used to me always paying. But she has her own money. She has a job. She works hard. She's successful. And her boyfriend was there as well and other people, and we were in line at what would be the equivalent to Chipotle at the airport. And when I was in the line getting my stuff, they were in line by me, but because it was going to take a few more minutes for them to make their decisions what they wanted to do, and I knew they had their own money, I went ahead and swiped my card, and I was out. When I was walking away, I saw her boyfriend look and make sure he had money. And I looked at her, look at me like, please don't go, girl. Her song was, you're a good, good father. That's who you are. That's who you are. And I walked away. And because I love them both and because I always pay, I felt like I was doing something wrong. Then I sat down and I was eating my food. And then a couple minutes later, she and him, they started griping and said, this is $48 for this. Come on, anybody know? This is real. This is real. If you don't have adult kids, you don't know what I'm talking about. But people are like, I'll be glad when my kids grow up. They never grow up. You never stop spending. It never stops costing you. And if you're older, you know. When are they going to move out? They're not. And if they do, they don't move far. It's like, can you babysit these kids? Can you buy shoes for these kids? Can you fit? Okay, I'm done. Okay, I'm done. But my point was that she said, this costs this much money. And I realized I'd actually done a good thing on accident. Because all week I had been doing that. All month I had been doing that. But sometimes we don't appreciate this resources from the Father until the absence is, somebody see what I'm saying right now? And then we go, wait a minute, I understand now what I got. Look at your neighbor and say, you don't miss what you got till it's gone. Now, let's go to the scripture. Proverbs 10, verse 22. The blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord. Not Lotto. The blessing of the Lord, it makes truly rich and adds no sorrow with it. Neither does toil increase it. So the blessing of the Lord is, the blessing is not just the money. It includes money, but it's perverted if you only think it is money. The blessing, let's leave it on the screen at all the campuses because I really want to get it. It might even be something you want to take a picture of. The blessing of the Lord, the blessing comes from the blessor. And the blessing is not just the money. The blessing is not the car. The blessing is not the shoes. That is a result of the blessing. But the blessing comes from the blessor, and if God has blessed you with a financial covenant, and he has, then let gas go to $20 a gallon, and you'll still take joyrides in your motorhome. Let bread go to $100 a loaf, and we will still feed the poor. Let the economy do whatever it's going to do, because our life does not fluctuate with the stock market. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never leave you and never forsake you. I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging for bread. Your begging days are over. Your broke days are over. You are blessed. Somebody ought to give God praise today. Oh, yeah, I wish somebody would say amen to that. I'm talking to broke people today. I'm talking about people that had to put stuff back. I'm talking about people that thought, I can't buy a house. I'll tell you, your broke days are over. Finished. It is done. Woo. The blessing of the Lord makes truly rich, and it adds no sorrow with it. Now let's stop with the sorrow. Especially there in Palm Beach. There's so many houses in Palm Beach County where you guys are watching right now that are $100 million, $150 million houses. Some of their taxes are $200,000 a month on their house. I'm talking about Tony Robbins lives there. Donald Trump lives there. All these just money, money, money. The Koch brothers live there. All this just money everywhere. That's on the Palm Beach side. And then you got the Riviera Beach side. Both got beach in the name. But one is broke oftentimes, and one looks as if they have money. And they do have money, but they do not necessarily have the blessing. They have the sorrow mixed with the money. So here's the kicker. Now realize this is really new. If it's your first time here, you're like, what in the world? We talk about money in church? Yeah. We talk about sex in church. We don't want to learn it on the streets. We talk about counseling and deliverance from depression in church. And we talk about money in church. The Bible said, my people are perish for a lack of knowledge. So the knowledge, the information gets in your spirit, and then eventually what it does is it adds, please keep it up, it adds no sorrow with it. So I watch a lot of people have a lot of money. Actually, they don't have a lot of money. A lot of money has them. I've watched people with a lot of money not spend any money. None. Like, you got tons of money. And you could buy your own airplane, and you're driving there because there's a spirit of greed. Here's the kicker. The Bible said that the wealth of the sinner, I'm almost done, is laid up for the just. And it said in the last days, and we're there. Look at your neighbor and say, I know we're there right now. I know we're there. Your mama talked about it, your grandma talked about it, but we are there. Raise your hand and you believe this preacher today and say, we are right there. My unsaved neighbors are telling me stuff. That's why I know I'm there. The wealth of sinners laid up for the just. So here's what you got to get a hold of in my last couple minutes. I want you to get your faith high that in the month of August, 8 means new beginnings. That even if the manifestation of the physical thing doesn't happen to you, that the spirit, the idea, the concept in your heart opens up to the possibility that God wants to bless you exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ask or imagine, according to the power that works within you. Come here, Sheldon, real quick before I go. He didn't plan on me doing this, and I didn't plan on doing it, and I want to be careful in how I do it so I don't embarrass him. But he and his wife moved to Florida how many years ago?
I'll be 38 years in December.
And they had $200 that they borrowed to get from Seattle, somewhere Washington.
Washington
State. Doesn't matter. It's cloudy and rainy up there somewhere. And Annette and him moved there with no money. He started working for a trash company, delivering trash. And all he said was, how much money? I'll do it if you pay me how much a month?
$600 a week.
If you pay me $600 a week, I will work. And he worked. And then it wasn't long till that company went out of business. But then he started his own trash company with his own truck. And then they became the biggest trash, whatever those people do, in South Florida. And all the big tubes that are coming off in Miami, and all the people that came against him, and the unions, and he fought, but he was a tither, and he served God, and he said, I'm blessed for a blessing, and I'm going to do what God called me to do, until they became the number one trash service in South Florida. Somebody ought to get excited about this today. If God can do it for Sheldon with $200, God can do it for you. He's not a respecter of persons. This is your month for a supernatural breakthrough to change everything about your life. Give me a microphone. I want to interview in 20 seconds. Everybody stand up so it'll encourage me to shut up. In fact, all y'all sitting there at Royal Palm, you're sitting in that church right now because he and his wife bought that church, and they didn't know why they bought it. And they said, I don't know why we bought it. He came up to me at church and seats like 800 at our building there, and you're watching in West Palm High School. He came up and said, I bought this church, and I don't know if you'd want it or not. If you'd want it, I'd give it to you. And I'm like, is the Pope Catholic? Does a bear sleep in the woods? Where's it at? He said, Royal Palm Beach, which is one of the wealthiest communities in Palm Beach County. And we went there, and he and his wife said, not only do we want to give it to the church, we're going to spend a couple million dollars fixing it up. And it has a brand new church bus. Do you want it? And I said, we can take delivery of that today. He didn't know why he bought it, but now hundreds of people go to that church every weekend because somebody said, God bless me, and I will bless you. God, you can trust me, and I will give it back to you. Somebody ought to give God praise. I know he's not a preacher at all, but you got anything you want to add to that?
You did all right.
I did all right?
Yeah, you did good. The Lord is good, I'll just say. And my wife was the one that borrowed the $200. I never...
Thank God for Annette. We should have got her up here. I want to pray for you. I want Sheldon to stay with me. Look at me just for 1 minute. I want every person to understand it's all about the heart. God blessed these two with the resources because he knew he could trust them. Most people are not going to say, well, you know, in fact, I thought of this, and I'll shut up in a second. When he and his wife gave the during COVID, where we needed a place to meet, and they did it, I thought they would say, well, we've given it to you. We're never going to spend any money to fix it up, and it's going to take a couple million dollars to do that. He said, no, we're going to pay for all that. Then I thought for sure, because they tithe and give, if I were in his position, and clearly I'm not, I would have told the pastor, hey, just so you know, I've kind of calculated it up, our tithe is paid in advance for 25 years. Come on, raise your hand if you understand what I'm saying. It just makes sense to me. I'm the pastor. I would have said, hey, Doc, I done paid in advance, and you're welcome. I could even go to another church, and you still got paid. So consider yourself blessed. But I don't know. Every week, they kept tithing off the company. And I thought, I've never met anybody like these two. It's about the heart. You look at him, he's not up here, you don't see Prada, you don't see a bunch of jewelry hanging. He ain't up here with like a big gold chain. Yo, yo, yo. I'm the man. No. See, oftentimes it's the people that don't look like they have any money that have the money. And I also want to say that this is dangerous. Whenever I do this, people sometimes go to them for money. Please don't do that, because I want to be able to tell you a story that inspires you. But if you get to thinking they're your source and you go ask them for money, that's just not very smart. It not only is not nice to them and other donors, or football players, different people at a church, never look to them. Always look to him, and it'll change your entire life. Come on, somebody. Stretch your hands toward me. I want to pray for you here, West Palm, Royal Palm, every campus. Got me and Sheldon come in agreement right now that if you did it for Sheldon, he'd be the first to tell. He tells me all the time, I can't believe I got to do this. I don't know why God picked me. I'm not that smart. But God, he and his wife have been given wisdom, which is the principal thing. And they've honored you. And they put you first. And God, I believe truly that his other businesses that you've blessed him with are going to be beyond blessed. God, I pray for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl that have a dream today, but they're broke. They don't know how they're going to pay the bills. They don't have enough money to put money in the gas tank to get home. I hear the Lord say it won't always be this way. Within your heart right now, the word of God has been sown. And if you will water it and you'll speak over it, you'll say stuff like, I'll never be broke another day in my life. I'm not looking to the economy. I'm not looking to my job as the source. I'm looking at my job as a source. The source is God, El Shaddai, my ultimate provider. And if we'll keep our mind right and our heart right, the Lord will make everything else turn out right. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord a great praise today. Amen.